The Jamie Dyer Show.
Welcome to the podcast, Genesis Amaris Kemp. Thank you for joining us. Tell me, what is your passion?
I have several different passions. One of them is writing, which allowed me to write my first book. Another passion of mine is being a self-development advocate, where I help other people figure out what their passion is and help them, you know, navigate to their purpose. And then I consider myself a visionary, meaning that I like to see things in a holistic approach and think about ways to make our future better, and not just for me, but for those coming besides and behind me.
Wow. I mean, there is a lot to unpack there, isn't there? I mean, the last thing that you said there, how do you go about that?
So helping people, or being able to leave a legacy behind for future generations to come?
A little bit of both, if you have an answer.
So one thing that I'm doing right now is speaking up, and my ability to speak up allowed me to write my book, Chocolate Drop in Corporate America. So I believe that is going to help future generations to come, because having a millennial such as myself, I'm only 29 years old, speak up in a corporate setting to people that are above you and do it so tactfully, is a step of being bold and being courageous. Because sometimes, depending on what culture you grow up in, people say you shouldn't challenge authority. It should be yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. But I feel like if something that someone in authority says or does to you that is not correct or you don't agree with, you should speak up for yourself. So that's one way why I feel like I'm helping others, because if no one takes the time to speak up for social injustice or whatever the case may be, then where are we going to be as a society? And what is the world going to look like 5-10 years from now if everyone remains silent?
We do need to stand up, and if we feel like something isn't quite right, we should say something. I mean, do you feel like perhaps you were told to kind of take a step backwards? Do you think that is maybe a race thing, a gender thing, an age thing, or maybe a mixture of all three?
A mixture of all three, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, how you've written this book. I mean, give us a little bit of a rundown about what this book actually contains.
So, Chocolate Drop in Corporate America, From the Pit to the Palace, contains my personal struggles as well as my testimonies on how I overcame systemic racism working for a Fortune 500 company in the oil and gas sector. I also give tips and tricks in the book about how people can take ownership of their career by being their own advocate. And what that looks like is speaking up for yourself, being able to challenge the status quo, being able to rise above limitations. Because, for example, when I started working for this company back in 2013, I started as an administrative assistant, and they had a saying that went like this: once an admin, always an admin. And I said, I don't agree with that statement, because just because someone started as an administrative assistant does not mean they don't have the skills and capabilities to go beyond that role. So that was one way I challenged the status quo. I also believed in networking. It's so important to get to know other people that are outside of your organization and outside of your company, because so many people like to say, oh, it's about who you know, but it's also about who knows you as well. So networking is key, and a lot of people say your network is your net worth. Another thing you'll see in the book is a reflection quote section, where I put in various quotes because I want the readers to take time to reflect and see how this book can be applied to their personal, you know, story, even if you're in corporate America or outside of corporate America, because systemic racism doesn't just apply in America. It doesn't just apply in the corporate sector. It applies in all industries. And that's one thing people would notice about the cover of my book, because I have people on the book cover from all nationalities and all industries, letting people know that we are better when we come together. Another thing in the book that I put at the end is my who am I? So I talk about who is Genesis, but it's also important for the readers to do their own who am I exercise, because once you know who you are, that is going to help you navigate your passion and your purpose.
I completely agree, because you need to go on a journey of self-discovery, and that can be found in many different ways. What has been the reaction to this book? Because there's quite a lot in there.
Yes. So some people said the book was very informative. I've also had feedback that people said, oh, I could completely resonate with what you wrote in the book, because I face some of the same things in my work arena. I also had another guy tell me that after reading his book, it inspired him to start writing his own book about his personal struggles that he endured in the workforce. And I think right now he's on chapter 12 of his book of writing it. So I've had great reviews. I've also had some candid reviews where one lady told me that she didn't feel comfortable leaving me a review on Amazon after reading the book, because she felt like my book was incomplete. Like, she did not see me get the justice that she thought I was, you know, deserved. But recently, after I was bold and I stood up and spoke out in the vice president's meeting, I was given a 20% increase, and that's not in the book because it just happened. So for 3 years of doing my current role, I was underpaid by 20%. But it took boldness and courage to speak up about that.
That is extremely bold. And again, like you were saying at the beginning, you're making steps to come forward and be honest about it. I mean, these things are always sort of, it's always a two-way street, isn't it? I mean, what can the other person do in order to kind of facilitate you in some way, or feel like you're being listened to?
I feel like the other person could really take a stab at inclusion and diversity, and not mainly to check a box on the paperwork, but to educate themselves on what inclusion and diversity is and what it should look like in the workforce as well as outside of the workforce. And they should do some self-reflection to see, okay, are the people that I'm hanging out with, are they inclusive and diverse? Do they just look like, does everyone that I hang out with look like me? And if so, how can I, you know, build partnerships with other people who don't look like me? And how can I understand their cultural background? How can I understand, you know, what their purpose is and stuff? And I would also say education is a big component. Educating yourself on various topics so you could be versatile whenever you meet various people. And another thing is, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask someone a question. And I heard a really great quote the other day. It says, don't be a know-it-all, be a learn-it-all.
Because we're always learning. You see, and I think sometimes there is this misconception that once you're in a specific position, maybe a sort of a position of power, you feel like you know everything. But actually, that's not the case. We learn something new every day.
Yes.
It is. I find it fascinating because this is such a relevant subject right now, given what has gone on everywhere. I mean, when did you conceive the idea for this book?
The book, it was either conceived last year in November or sometime around December, because the idea came to me after I had a performance review where my supervisor gave me feedback that did not align with the peer feedback that I received. So it was contradictory. But whenever I challenged it, she said, oh, it's too late because this has already been submitted and we can't change it unless you go through upper management. So that same day I had put in my phone a notes app, Chocolate Drop in Corporate America, and I put down 3 or 4 sentences and I left it alone. And I went to a local church group here that was a woman's group. So different women from all professional backgrounds were there. And I met another author. And I was just so intrigued about you know, what she was doing and by her as a person that I ended up meeting up with her at a later time. And she pretty much told me, hey, have you thought about writing a book? And that's when the book was birthed.
Finding inspiration from from others and doing that networking that you were talking about. I mean, you mentioned there that you met them at a local church group.
Yes.
But what other ways do you network?
So I network at industry events. So going to events with people from my industry, I network with others on social media, whether it's through different groups that I join that have similarities or things that I like to do. I also network informally as well as formally. So if I am, you know, at the hair salon and I, you know, start chatting with someone and I really vibe with them, then I'll exchange my information with them. Also at community events, whenever I volunteer and et cetera.
Yeah, there's so much there. I mean, you are extremely busy, aren't you?
Yes. COVID has slowed me down a bit because I didn't get to do any volunteer activities this year. So a lot of my networking has been virtually. So a lot of virtual coffee chats.
Yeah, a lot of stuff over Zoom, Skype, that type of thing. I mean, you've written this book and you're obviously involved in lots of other things as well. Where do you go from here? What is kind of your ambition? Where's your next step?
I would definitely love to take my book worldwide as well as get my book in brick and mortar stores like Walmart, Sam's, Costco, Barnes and Noble, and et cetera. So I'm working on that. And I definitely want to speak at conferences whenever they get back started where people could go meet face to face, as well as take my book into the school system to educate younger children on what inclusion and diversity is. And the reason why I want to target younger children is because whenever you get children at a young age, they are open-minded and they're able to absorb so much information. And I feel like if they are surrounded at home by people who really don't see the world in a full lens and they see the world narrow-minded, that's also not preparing the children for a bigger and brighter future if they are only being fed limited mindsets.
You have to start them young because at the end of the day, I believe personally that people's opinion is nurture rather than nature.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of how I look at it. So if you get them young, as you say, then you can build from there. I mean, you're 29 years old. I'm 30 years old. Have you noticed any kind of change in attitudes maybe in the last 5 to 10 years?
Yes, a lot of change. And since I'm in the US, we've had, you know, changes with the political climate as well as, you know, social injustice. The whole Black Lives Matter movement started around, you know, the May timeframe. And I felt like that changed a lot of people's attitudes and notions. And I feel like if we can just honestly come together and stop all the hatred, then we could definitely be better as society and as, you know, the world combined. But I feel like if we don't take our blinders off and really self-reflect and see, okay, is the way I'm treating someone else the way that I want someone to treat me in return? Am I planting good seeds that are going to sprout in fertile soil? And we really have to get back to, you know, our human instincts and put the human instincts back in humanity.
I agree completely. And you mentioned the Black Lives Matter movement. To some people, it was seen as quite a negative thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, what would be your response to that negativity?
I felt like the negativity was seen that way because some people felt like all lives matter. And the reason why they said Black Lives Matter was the fact that there were so many African American people getting killed, whether it was, you know, because the police officer thought they had a gun, or whether it was breaking through someone's door and it was the wrong apartment. But we're not saying, when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not saying that other lives don't matter. We're just saying Black Lives Matter because so many of us have been racially profiled. We have went through segregation. We have, you know, I've been pulled over for no apparent reason. And I have, you know, endured that as a African-American woman. Me and my husband have been pulled over for no apparent reason. And once they found out where we were, the cop said, oh, okay, I'll let you go with the warning. And I felt like he was just doing that just to see if, you know, we fit the profile of someone else. So I want to encourage people out there who may be listening, you know, to this replay, is don't get misconstrued when people say Black Lives Matter. That is not to discredit or discount all lives. We're just saying that we want justice for those that look like us that got killed prematurely.
Yeah, I understand your reasoning there. And I'm sorry to hear that you've had that experience. I mean, is that something, I don't know which area of the US that you're in, but is that a regular thing to that area, or is it, in your experience, is that a bit more wider?
I'm in Houston, Texas, so I feel like depending on what part of Houston that you're in, it can be, you know, happening more frequently. But the area that I live in, it is predominantly Caucasian. And I feel like sometimes it happens at the grocery stores too, because I have biracial nieces and nephews. So two of them are half Caucasian and two of them are half Indian. And I've had someone stop me in the grocery store to ask me, whose kids are those? Like, I'm just gonna be walking with complete strangers, or I'm going to steal some kids. Like, no. And I felt like, you know, taken back by it, because why would you ask me that ignorant question? Obviously, yeah. I'm holding their hand and you see a love connection between me and the two children.
That's horrible that there wasn't an understanding in that particular moment, and others that you may have experienced. I mean, there might be other people listening to this that kind of want to know how to jump on, not the bandwagon, but want to kind of follow in your footsteps, or at least stand beside you. How would they be able to do so?
I would encourage them to share their stories, because there is power when we share our testimony. I also encourage them, another way you could support me is by purchasing a copy of the book Chocolate Drop in Corporate America, From the Pit to the Palace. You can also, whenever you see a situation or you witness it, if it's not right, you should speak up, because that person may not have the courage to speak up for themselves. So don't be afraid to address a situation that could help or save somebody's life. And if you witness something that is not right, you can always take a video of it and, you know, post it, because actions speak louder than words. We definitely have to help one another. And I would also encourage people too, is whenever you see someone that looks different from you, just think about the fact that we all bleed red and we all have, you know, the same organs inside of us. So the only thing that is different is our outward appearance, but our inward organs and the blood that we all have running through our vein is the same.
Well, we're all humans at the end of the day. We're all human beings. And I think it's going to take some time for people to understand that. But I do think that we are on the way there. And it's certainly positive to see that. I mean, obviously, there are still issues out there. I mean, where next for you? I mean, you've stood up to people and you've written this book. Have you got another book in you? Is there more stories to come, or would you like to continue to encourage other people?
There's definitely more stories to come. I am going through a vetting process right now to decide what my second book is going to be, because I would like to pay tribute and write a book about my father's life and how he came to America, because I am first generation American, and just to have him tell his perspective of the racism that he faced being an immigrant in this country. Whereas, you know, I'm first generation, so I was born here and I see racism slightly different. So I think that would be a good book. And I also do poetry here and there. So I'm thinking about either putting together a collection of some of the poems that I've written in the past and making that a book. And then I also want to continue speaking, like from a motivational speaker standpoint.
I can see that you have the skills to do so. Have you done much public speaking prior to this?
So I've been featured on over two dozen podcasts now, and then I'm also hosting one tonight at 7:30 Central time, also 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it's based out of Jamaica, so I'm filling in for the host talk shoot series, and then I've been featured in a few magazines.
Wow. I mean, I do wish you all the best of luck with it. And I know there will be people listening that are willing you on in your journey and may want to stand beside you for whatever reason that may be, whatever their reason is. And, well, one last thing. Where would people be able to find information about you and your book?
So I am on Facebook as Genesis, that's G-E-N-E-S-I-S, Amaris, A-M-A-R-I-S, Kemp, K-E-M-P. I have an author page as well. It's under Chocolate Drop in Corporate America. People can also reach me via email, which is genesisamariskemp@gmail.com. And I love getting feedback. I think feedback is very important for development. So whether it's good feedback or bad feedback, I am going to take it and assess it so I can improve as an individual. And then I definitely want to encourage people that are listening is don't let your dreams die, because there are so many people who have passed away and now their dreams are in the graveyard because they were never bold or courageous to walk outside of their comfort zone or take that leap of faith. And I also want to also encourage those listening is don't let people place limitations on you. Be limitless, and you can be limitless whenever you overcome your fears. And if you're not sure how to overcome your fears, write down a list of all the things that you are fearful about, and then look for ways that you can overcome each one of them. Or you could also retrain your mindset, because fear is a form of a mindset. And whenever I think about fear, I just think about it as false evidence appearing real. And that helps me overcome my fears.
That's amazing advice. And hopefully it helps people out there. Certainly I've taken something from it. It's amazing. It's been amazing to talk to you. And I'd like to say, Genesis, thank you so much for appearing on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Jamie Dyer Show.